Every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we bring you a true story that has made headlines in Scoop.
September the 12th, 1878. Cleopatra's Needle, levered into position on Thames Embankment after a nightmare voyage from Alexandria.
Mr. Dimitri, one moment. Mr. Dimitri.
Yes, what is it?
My cards are here.
General Sir James Alexander.
Yes.
Well? And I'm very busy, and
look, it's about the obelisk.
Huh?
This lying here in the sand.
Oh, that. It's a great nuisance to me. Take it. I bought this land for development, and that is holding me up. I have told the authorities.
Yes. That's why I'm here. You must have patience, sir.
Patience? I've paid a lot of money for this land. I'm not a rich man, and this is preventing me from...
I quite understand.
You cannot if you ask me to be patient. Unless it is removed from here within the week, I shall break it up and use the stones myself.
Break it up? But, Mr. Dimitri, this is of tremendous archaeological importance. Don't you realize that some 3,500 years ago, King Thutmose III erected two
of these? I do not care what happened 3,000 years ago. This is in my way. I cannot cut up this land without lying there. It must go.
But this weighs hundreds of tons.
I don't care how you move it. It must go.
I shall have to get to London and tell my government about it.
And how long will that take? How long, huh?
Well, I shall have to persuade the government to transport the obelisk to London.
You mean take that to London?
Yes, it was given to the British government in gratitude by the Khedive of Egypt, Muhammad Ali, when Napoleon was torn to shreds by General Abercrombie.
So it has been lying here for nearly 100 years?
Yes.
Well, your government cannot want it. I shall break it up and use the stone.
Mr. Dimitri, that would be sacrilege.
It would be plain common sense. If any government gave me that, or whatever it is lying there in the sand, I would consider it an insult. Yes, an insult.
Cast your mind back, sir. Cast it back when this was cut from a single mammoth block of rose-pink granite, hewn from the quarry at Asuan and floated down the Nile.
Yes, but...
Thousands of Nubian slaves toiled under the lash to haul it to its site before the Temple of Ra.
I am a busy
and
man.
And there the twin obelisks remained, while the glories of ancient Egypt crumbled before the Roman legions. In 13 B.C., the Roman Emperor had them removed to the new city, Alexandria.
My land, I cannot...
And then, in 1300, an earthquake threw it to the ground where it lay. And after Napoleon's defeat, grateful British troops sank this marble slab commemorating their victory. You see, here it is on the monument.
Please, I am a businessman. I do not care for all this. I bought this land for development. Now that must go. It must go. Otherwise, I warn you, sir. I warn you, I shall break it up. If your government are stupid enough to accept such a gift, why should my investment be made to suffer?
All I can do is to go to London immediately and see if I can't arrange for transport.
That would take months.
Yes. But I'm sorry. I can do no more. I beg of you, Mr. Dimitri. I beg of you in the name of history to have patience.
Very well. But know this one thing. Unless your government does something within 3 months, I shall have this broken to pieces, and I mean that.
So, that's the position, Lord Mayor.
Dear. This is too much.
Believe me, this gentleman means everything he says.
Why did the Egyptian government ever give us that wretched monument? And it's always been a nuisance. For the past 100 years, successive Khedives have tried to interest
us. Why has it been allowed to lie there for so long? I mean, this is of great historical value.
Yes, of course. But it'll be the devil's own job to ship it to London. And expensive, too. We haven't the money to waste, Sir James.
But this isn't waste, Lord Murray.
Do you see this dossier here, Duke? Look at that. Memorandum, correspondence, meetings that have been held about that confounded monument lying there. It'll cost a fortune for transport.
Not a fortune. Only about £10,000.
My dear fellow, that is a fortune. The government would never agree to it.
Yet a similar obelisk was safely transported to the Place de la Concorde in Paris. If the French can successfully manage, surely the British can try.
But it's a question of money.
But surely our government won't allow this individual to commit his act of vandalism.
Believe me, Sir James, if I could help you, I would. But this dossier here is proof that the British government is not prepared to incur the expense.
If the government won't help, I'll appeal to private individuals. Yes, I'll collect this money myself.
Yes. Do that, Sir James. It's a splendid idea. And believe me, we will gratefully accept the gift of this money list. But I must stress again that no expense must be incurred on behalf of my government. They will never countenance it.
I'll collect this money myself. I have 3 months. Just 3 months.
I wish you the greatest good fortune.
I'll need it. Yes, certainly I'll need it.
Sir James Alexander?
Hi, yes.
Here are my cards, sir.
Mr. Erasmus Wilson. Oh, this is a great honor. I've always followed your work with the very keenest interest, sir. Your surgical techniques have revolutionized medicine.
The interest is mutual, Sir James. Oh. I was at the Royal Society when you read your paper about the monument lying at Alexandria. I was most impressed.
Thank you.
I must say, I am appalled by the thought of our government leaving such a treasure lying buried in the sand. It is a crime, Sir James.
Yes, but I suppose one can't expect everyone to be interested in such matters, Mr. Wilson.
You mentioned that the entire cost of bringing this monolith to Britain would be about £10,000.
Yes.
I am prepared to defray the entire cost of the project.
You are willing to... But Mr. Wilson, it's a fortune.
I consider it will be money well spent. Now, what are your plans for transporting it?
Well, I've been in contact with Mr. John Dixon.
Ah, yes, I've heard about him, an eminent civil engineer.
Yes, that's right. And he contends that if the monolith were encased in a cylinder made of steel boilerplates and rolled into the sea, it would float.
Go on. It's most interesting.
Naturally, it would be ballasted, fitted with a keel, deck cabin, rudder and mast, and it would then be towed through the Mediterranean and the Atlantic Ocean to Britain.
A 3,000-mile journey.
Yes.
It's a tremendous undertaking, Sir James.
But with your money behind it, Mr. Wilson, it can be done.
Careful with that mast! Careful!
Oh, honestly, they're going to break it before it's even erected.
Careful, I say!
Are you Sir James Alexander?
Yes, stand back and be careful.
Go in, Captain Carter.
Swing that mast gently now. Swing it out.
I said I'm Captain Carter.
Good.
Oh, Captain Carter. Of course, welcome to Alexandria. I've been waiting for you. Well, what do you think of her, eh?
What is that, Sir James?
It's Cleopatra's Needle.
Oh.
At least that's what we've written. This, Captain, is the vessel you'll sail to England.
That?
But didn't the P&O company explain?
They told me I'd be borrowed to sail a vessel to England, but this, sir, isn't a vessel. We've never seen anything like it before in my life. I started my service on a square-rigged bark, but never
have
I ever
seen... Well, this is unusual, I agree, but come aboard, Captain, and I'll show you. Now, look, careful now. You'll find she does roll a bit.
You expect this to be towed to England? Yeah, you must be out of your mind, Sir James. It'll be impossible to handle in heavy weather. She'll sheer round in great arcs.
She was designed by the Thames Ironworks Company.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I've sailed in some pretty odd craft in my career, but never in anything like this.
Oh, come on, then I'll show you the deck cabin.
Now, just a minute, Sir James.
Hmm?
I'm not being difficult, but I don't understand what it's all about. What is this thing?
It's a famous monolith.
Huh?
Encased inside here is a huge granite obelisk.
I'll take it to England for it.
Well, it's been given to the British government by the Egyptians. It's of great archaeological importance.
Oh. What are you going to do with it? What good is it to us?
Why, dear fellow, this stood at a temple on the Nile where the infant Moses was found in the bulrushes.
Oh, no. Imagine that.
Well, you may consider it an odd craft, Captain Carter, but believe me, it's of great significance to the world.
What do you say? What sort of crew will I have on board?
7 Maltese seamen.
I see. My tow ship?
A fine schooner-rigged steamer called the Olga. She'll be loaded with grain to help pay for the cost of the voyage.
Well, I can't say I like the look of this, Sir James, but if you say it's important, well, then I...
Important? I'll tell you this, Captain. Your name will go down in history.
Bottom's falling out of the glass, Captain.
I don't like this, Mr. Mate. Looks to me like a hurricane.
Aye, Captain.
The cylinder's going to be devilish difficult to handle. hut I was saying to you, Joe, waiting wildly in spite of the weight of this mass of stone. It's all very fine in the calm windows of an inland sea, but now we've struck the Atlantic, I can see problems. Where's Sir James?
Down in his cabin, Captain.
Well, if you ask me, Mr. Mate, the whole business is madness. And all the expense and the danger, too, of towing that hulk out there. It doesn't seem to make sense to me at all.
Captain Carter's having trouble with his seaman.
Yeah, I can't blame him. Oh, well, we've been paid to get that to London, and we must do our best.
That's Captain Carter, sir.
You pass me that loud hailer.
Ahoy! Danger
of turning
over!
Oh, heavens. Mr. Mate, tell Sir James to step over here quickly.
Aye, sir.
Stand in, boat! Stand by!
What's the matter, Captain? What happened?
The ballast must have been insecurely stowed. It's shifted. The tower is in danger of turning completely over.
Oh, no!
Mr. Mate!
Aye, sir!
Call for volunteers to man a boat to take off crew.
Aye, sir!
The weather's worsening, Sir James.
But if you take off the crew, what will happen?
Well, if the tow proves unmanageable, we'll cut the steel hawse.
You mean let her drift? But you can't.
Look, Sir James, that cylinder may have been great historical value, but I value very much more the lives of those 8 men aboard.
Yes, yes, of course, but surely this weather can't last forever.
I have explained that cylinder is boundary.
6 men are volunteers, sir.
Good. Stand by to lower away, Mr. Mate.
Aye, sir. Stand by to lower away. Stand by. A jump to it.
Ease the pull! Lower
away!
There she goes!
But, Captain, surely to heaven there's something else we can do. There must be some.
Judge for yourself, Sir James. Would you say this weather is clearing? Of course not. Ahoy there! Stand by for the boat!
They can't manage the boat in these seas, Captain!
Watch out!
Merciful heaven, the boat's been
pulled! Hold our line!
The boat's gone, sir! It's been swept away!
Here, Captain Carter. Drink this.
Thank you, Sir James. I never thought we'd ever reach this boat safely.
There's no sign of my men who went out to save you, sir.
I've never known the sea run as high as this, Captain. It's a miracle you threw that line to us and dragged us aboard.
The monolith seems to have vanished.
Afraid so, Sir James. I couldn't keep afloat in this.
Well, perhaps we could search again.
Look, Sir James, we have searched. Heaven knows we've spent hours. There's no sign of it at all.
But you were designed to withstand a 3,000-mile journey.
Yes, sir. The ballast was insecurely stowed and it shifted. We all did our best. You can't fight these seas alone unless you've got a good craft under you.
It survived thousands of years of sun and winds and shifting sand. And 2 days out here, it disappeared.
Well, maybe it should have been left where it was, Sir James.
It's tragic. It's terrible. If you don't mind, gentlemen, I'll go to my cabin.
It's acting like he's lost someone near and dear to him.
I never understand these blokes.
When I first saw it, I knew it couldn't float. I said to him, I said, what's this? You don't expect that to be towed to England, I said. But no, he knew better.
It's cost him a fortune, too.
From whopping great luck with granite. Well, it takes all sorts to make up the world, I suppose. I must say in confidence, Captain Booth, I'm far happier aboard this craft than I was on the last. That trip was a nightmare.
Ah, Sir James. Splendid. At last. I was down at Falmouth Harbour only last week, wondering whether the craft had arrived.
I'm afraid I have bad news for you, Mr. Wilson.
Oh?
The monolith foundered and sank in the Atlantic during a hurricane.
Sank?
Yes. It was a nightmare voyage, and 6 seamen died when their boat was swamped by a giant wave.
Oh. And Captain Carter?
He was rescued, but there was nothing we could do to save the monolith.
Well, I must say I'm disappointed, Sir James.
Of course.
The newspapers were inquiring only yesterday, and I said that... Still, what's the importance of a block of granite when 6 men lost their lives?
We all tried our best, Mr. Wilson. I'm only sorry that you have suffered this financial loss.
Oh, the money means nothing. The tragedy is that this marvelous monument should have been lost. I was in Paris a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the obelisk at the Place de la Concorde. It was magnificent. I thought if the French can do it, by George, the British can as well.
I'm afraid we failed.
Oh, well, we all did our best, and no man can do more.
Somehow,
yes?
You know, the night of the storm, when they told me that the monolith had disappeared, I thought,
No, it can't be. We turned back and searched for it, but somehow I felt that it was still afloat.
That it was still afloat.
I mean, out there in the ocean. It's difficult for me to say.
So you have a premonition that it is still afloat somewhere. Well,
that's it exactly, yes. But we searched. We didn't give up easily. But you can't talk of such things to practical seamen, Mr. Wilson.
Quite so. Of course, the press will get to hear about this. Yeah. There will be comment. They will say that the French succeeded where we failed. Have you told Lord Murray about this?
I have an appointment with him at 11.
Take my advice, Sir James. Don't acknowledge defeat yet. The sea is a surprising place. It gives up its mysteries when you least expect it.
Look to starboard, Captain. Do you see?
Where the devil's that? Give me the glass.
It looks like a giant whale, sir.
It's drifting this way.
It's a sea serpent, Captain. That's what it is, some kind of sea serpent.
It's man-made, I tell you, it's man-made. Look, now you see it clearly.
Oh, the devil's not the devil, is it, Captain?
It's long, black, and it's riding sluggishly.
There's a cabin, sir, and a broken mast.
It's some kind of vessel. Take it in tow. Might earn a bit of salvage, here, Mr. Mate.
Oh, but I don't understand this, Captain. What the devil is it? I've never seen a vessel like
this. Give orders to clear the falls to lower the boat.
You plan to barter, Captain?
Something mighty strange going on, Mr. Mate. Gotta do something. She's wallowing in the shipping lines and she could be a danger. Get a couple of men aboard.
Hey, right, Captain. Two men to the boat there. You, Francis, stand by to lower away. Thank you now. We can't approach direct. Not in this swell. Pull easy, man.
Aye.
Tricky bit here. Not far now. Pull harder.
Hey, there's a name printed to starboard.
What the? Cleopatra's Needle. Cleopatra's Needle?
What is it, though?
I'm jumping aboard.
Mind my foot.
She's wallowing, but she seems steady enough now. Drift in as near as you can.
Right, sir.
Watch it. Clear out a bit. That's it.
Be careful, sir. Those plates, they're damn slippery, you know.
Hold her where she is, man. I'm going.
Now, Mr. Mate, what do you make of it?
Well, it's some kind of steel cylinder, Captain. There's a small deck, Captain, a stumpy mast which has been broken. From what I can make out, Captain, the cylinder enclosing something. Heaven knows what it is, though.
Right, Mr. Mate, we'll take him to.
It's a tremendous length, Captain.
If we can't manage, we'll cut adrift again. If we get it to port safely, we might earn a goodly slice of salvage.
Mr. Wilson! Mr. Wilson!
Yes, what is it? Oh, Sir James!
They found her!
What?
By some extraordinary coincidence, she drifted into the path of the tramp steamer Fitzmaurice, and they took her in tow!
Oh, my heavens, I told you, Sir James! I told you that she hadn't sunk, I knew it! Where is she?
At Anchorage, a great end.
Well, let's go down there immediately.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you must feel triumphant about this, Sir James. Has Lord Murray been informed?
Yes, the government are delighted.
I should blessed well hope they are.
They plan a triumphal progress up the river to the East India Company docks.
Then the next move is to erect the monolith near Westminster Abbey.
Yes.
Oh, the end of an epic journey, Sir James. By heavens, just wait until the French hear about this.
Sit down, Sir James, sit down. I can't give you much time. I'm frantically harassed.
It's about the obelisk. It's been lying at anchor now for over 6 months. And nothing's been done about erecting it near Westminster Abbey.
Oh, that confounded... It's causing me untold problems.
But I don't see why it can't be erected.
Well, the directors of the underground railways have refused to give their consent.
What? But what's it to do with them?
Well, they're fearful that the stone mass will crash into their tunnel. And it's a valid argument, Sir James. It's a tremendous weight, you know. If there was such an accident, it would be calamitous.
But this site was decided on, Lord Murray. And
one must be flexible about these things.
There was an alternative site outside the British Museum.
Oh, no. That was found to be impossible.
Impossible? Why?
Well, the obelisk cannot be hauled through the narrow streets of London. It would jam and cause untold chaos.
I see. Well, then, where is it to be erected, sir? It has travelled over 3,000 miles through raging storms.
Yes, I know all about that. I'm in the middle, Sir James. Naturally, I appreciate the importance of this obelisk, but in my position, I cannot allow it to disrupt the city of London.
The French erected it with no trouble at all. They put up scaffolding and a great hydraulic jack hauled the thing into position. There wasn't this fuss, this compounded bother, this lack of cooperation...
I can admire the determination and the tenacity of the French. They're a great people, Lord Murray.
But they didn't encounter the problems we've had to face.
They ironed them out.
Ah.
Well, sir, what are your plans now? Where is this monolith to be erected? Or is it to be left riding at anchor indefinitely?
There's to be a meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to suggest that the obelisk be placed in position on the embankment.
Oh,
This is the most practical spot, Sir James. It will be an outstanding landmark.
Well, as long as there's not too much delay.
I shall do my best, Sir James. Rest assured, I shall do my best.
Well, Sir James, there she is on her pedestal. This is a great day for us both.
I can't believe it.
This is an historic occasion. The British flag flying at the top. You must be proud.
Yes, yes, it's a grand sight. The last time it stood in all its glory was 3,500 years ago, adorning the great temple to Ra. Then it was a delicate shade of rose pink. And had contemplated the glories of the fairies.
And now it watches over London. Cleopatra's Needle.
Every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we bring you a true story that has made headlines in Scoop.